But we have a small group, so I just want to introduce myself briefly. So I'm a CDC-assigned epidemiologist to the state of Hawaii through the Division of Reproductive Health. But among my many duties, I've dabbled a little bit in oral health for 5 or 6 years now. So one of the things that we did dabble in is really looking at how do we implement a third-grade screening project called the Basic Surveillance Survey in our schools. So it allows us to gather information. And that's why I'm going to be sharing some of the analysis results. And I don't do this at all by myself. These are some of my collaborators there, which, again, includes our national partners, including the Association of State and Territorial Dental Directors, as well as people at CDC and people locally in my state. Since you're here in the oral health session, everyone knows it's a critical component of general health and well-being across the lifespan. Some people are advocating as an important life course indicator. In Hawaii in particular, we know that Native Hawaiians and other Pacific Islanders are at increased risk for multiple poor health indicators above and beyond oral health. And Hawaii is somewhat unique. We're an island state, and we do not have we do not have fluoridated water. We have about 11% of our child population actually receives fluoridated water. And those are people that live on military bases and military housing who do fluoridate their local water supply. There's a lot of politics on why the military bases have a different water system than the rest of the state. But besides that, there's a lot of concerns culturally about fluoride. And Hawaii has never done a third grade surveillance in its history before, so that was some of our efforts. So my first study question is, does the need for urgent dental treatment among third grade children in Hawaii vary by race, socioeconomic status, and prior dental utilization? And I think everyone here would probably say you could ask this question about everything. So yes, including what I'm going to share today, there is variation by different characteristics, and that's why we look at different disparity groups. So just to go briefly into the methodology here, the Hawaii Smiles is our what we're calling this initiative. We're wrapping all our screening surveillance programs into Hawaii Smiles, including our elder survey and our early Head Start survey that we're going to do this fall. But the third grade screening survey, it's a population-based surveillance system where providers actually go into the schools, look in the children's mouth, and they document, I'll show you the screening form, but they document the clinical findings as well as sometimes we supplement that with additional questions of the parents. So in particular, in 2014-15, we rolled it out to the schools where we surveyed over 3,000 children. We required active parental consent, so parents actually had to sign a form and that their child had to bring back to school for us to in order to look at their mouths. And we ended up with overall 57% response rate from 67 schools across the nation, across the state. We also included data on race and participation. And this is one of the unique aspects of our study in retrospect is we didn't realize that other states don't ask their Department of Education or their individual education jurisdictions to share data. But at the forefront of my mind was, instead of duplicating effort, why don't we just work with our Department of Education, ask them, can we look at your records or work with you in some fashion to be able to identify the kids we screen and what their race and ethnicity as well as participation in free or reduced lunches. And the basic screening survey, again, it's a sample of 3,000 children. There's about 14,000 in the state, and we weight that to reflect county as well as state-level estimates. So we very crudely use GIS mapping to identify what schools we want to survey. And actually, this is a little ArcGIS online map that we created where you could toggle on each of the individual points, and those shows the actual schools that were included in the surveys, and it shows a distribution across the state of where these schools are located. So we definitely are statewide, and we have four counties. Starting from your bottom right is our Hawaii County. That's the Big Island. Then there's a cluster of four islands is our Maui County. Oahu is where 71% of our population live, and that's the next one. And the far northwest is our Kauai County. But this is a nice little tool to allow us to be able to superimpose maps and roadways and everything to help with planning. But my particular focus was looking at what are the basic characteristics and associations between what's called need for urgent dental treatment. And I did some analysis looking at a multivariate log estimated adjusted prevalence ratios. So always get back to essentially how did we collect this data? What does it mean? So we defined need for dental treatment based on what was collected by the basic screening survey provider. So again, we could scroll through this. Student ID number, the child's age, child's gender, whether they had untreated decay, yes or no, sealants or on permanent molars, yes or no, that's at least one sealant. Treatment urgency, none, early or urgent. If they've had decay that was treated in the past, is yes or no as well. So in my particular analysis, I combined this. I looked at the last one on the bottom right there, the treatment urgency, and I looked at need for urgent treatment as my primary outcome. And I compared that to early or none. Always like to show kind of a busy table just to show that, yes, this is what the population of Hawaii looks like. We have about 21% of our population of third grade children are white, about 10% are Japanese, 20% Filipino, and about 22% Native Hawaiian. Our Micronesian population is about 5%. And again, most of our people live in Honolulu County, about 70%, and about half our kids, half our schools are on free or reduced lunch. In particular, for the actual outcomes that we looked at in this BSS, which in addition to the need for treatment, we also looked at placement of dental sealants. We see that only about 37% of our children had dental sealants placed. We tried to ask this question, dental visit, in the past year on the parental consent form, and of course, it was on the back. So quite a few people did not answer it. So roughly about 15% or 20% actually did not answer that question, so we decided not to include it in our final analysis, but nonetheless, we see that 88% of our children had a dental visit in the past year. When we look at treatment urgency, this is the individual breakdown where we see roughly three-quarters had no treatment urgency, 16% had some early, they should see a provider soon, and urgent was seen in about 7%, and that's the focus of this particular analysis. I'd like to share a little bit about kind of the unadjusted analysis. So this is looking at our different disparity or different characteristics such as age, gender, the free or reduced lunch participation, and the county they live in. And these graphs are simply meant to represent. So I color-coded the significant differences in the title. So we see that participation in free or reduced lunch is orange. It shows that 11.6% had this need for urgent dental treatment compared to those that were not on free or reduced lunch was only 2.3%. And those are 95% confidence superimposed. And we see little variation in the other characteristics listed here. Similarly on this graph, we see differences by our ethnicity groups. And again, our Micronesians, 30% had a need for urgent dental treatment. Compare that to our Native Hawaiian, which is typically our highest risk group, was only 6.5%. And our other Pacific Islanders is another hard to define group, but again, nearly a quarter of them had an urgent need for dental treatment. I thought about looking at sealants as a protective factor, so as a marker of previous dental home. So we see that about 1.3% of those that had dental sealants in the past did not have an urgent need. So take that for what it's worth. In a dental visit in the past year, we looked at the association again. Those that did not have a dental visit had a much higher risk of a need for urgent dental treatment. And again, it's color-coded in the title and the actual bars. When we start looking at the adjusted prevalence ratio, so again, just to take a little bit of time here, what this means is kind of a comparison between two groups. In the first example, we could see that 1.4, the 9 to 10-year-olds had a 1.4 times greater chance of having a need for urgent dental treatment compared to 7 to 8-year-olds. So our reference group is 7 to 8. If we adjust for other factors, so I highlighted the reds, the significant ones in red, and those are the ones where the confidence intervals does not include 1, so we typically associate that as 95% significance. If we account for all these different factors, we see a bunch of reds in the left columns here. So many different characteristics were associated in the unadjusted analysis. When we start adjusting for all the factors, in a sense, we're trying to hold one thing constant and see if we add in all these other variables, do we still see that difference in that factor? And again, we see some changes. Some of the red stayed red, but some became black. But what I want to highlight here is kind of in the next slide, is really looking at graphically what does it show. So again, I tried to color code these to show that, for example, that if you participate in a free or reduced lunch, you had almost a 2.9 times greater likelihood of needing urgent dental treatment compared to someone that did not participate in free or reduced lunch after adjusting for all other variables shown, as well as age of participant and gender. There were some differences with our Filipino groups, our Micronesian and other Pacific Islanders. Again, nearly fivefold greater risk prevalence ratio compared to our Caucasian or white non-Hispanic group, and sealants as well. Those that did not have dental sealants had a much higher need for urgent dental treatment. So just kind of a summary of our results. Children from lower income families, those that are on free or reduced lunch as our proxy, are 2.9 times more likely to have a need for urgent dental treatment, even after adjusting for race, sealants, and those other factors I mentioned. And we have some particular ethnic differences as well with our Micronesian children, 5.4 times, something called other Pacific Islander, also 5 times, and our Filipino children are also more than 2 times more likely to have need for urgent dental treatment. Children without sealants are 6.6 times more, again, even after adjustment. So our Hawaii Smiles was our first population-based third-grade oral health survey in Hawaii. It provided some information to document the oral health burden in our state. We found that nearly 1 in 4 children were identified as needing dental treatment, and nearly 1 in 13, or 7.2%, were identified as needing the urgent dental treatment. And these particular groups are at higher risk. There's always limitations. Our Hawaii Smiles was conducted just in our public elementary schools. Hawaii is a little bit unique in that about 12% of our children in grades 1 to 4 attended a private school compared to 10% nationally. We see an even bigger difference if we start looking at our high school population. And again, nearly a quarter of the data was missing on the last dental visit, so we weren't able to include that more in our final analysis. And race ethnic information was based on how the Department of Education collected that information from the parents upon child entry into the system. So it did not allow the opportunity to look at more than one race group. In Hawaii, we have about 50% of our births, about a third of our moms belong to more than one race group, and similar number, a third of our dads. So our implications: healthcare providers and our community groups should be aware of the burden of oral disease. Studies are needed to identify reasons why these exist. And we need culturally appropriate efforts to promote oral health for our needy families, including those with low income and Micronesian, other Pacific Islander, and Filipino race groups. And again, this kind of association with this cross-sectional study that dental sealants did appear to have an impact. Before I get into implication, I forgot to mention in the very beginning. So during the screening program, we didn't want to just screen children, and if they need urgent dental treatment, just say, go see your provider. So we actually had active work with our public health nursing, so they ensured follow-up to a medical provider. So the implications of our study: the Hawaii Smiles demonstrates one way that we benefited from our CDC cooperative agreement on oral health disease prevention. This is one way of how we're demonstrating leadership in oral health, and it's much part of a larger effort of how do we use surveillance efforts to inform health in Hawaii. I want to acknowledge again that we had many partners, including work with our Primary Care Association, our Dental Association, and we have various reports up online, and this is the link where we put up most of our publications that we work on. And this little brochure there is about 6-7 pages, and it highlights some of the key findings from our oral health third grade survey. And that's it. So are there any questions from the audience? So the question was, how do you characterize or identify urgent need? And there's a protocol that our providers were trained in to answer one of those three questions. So I'm not a dentist, so I'm not sure the exact qualifications, but it was part of the protocol and their standardized training that they all received. And Kathy Phipps from ASTDD is the one that did the training for us.
Yes.
But instead of explaining
Well, we must have had quite a bit of variability within our. So we oversampled our neighbor island counties because we want to ensure county level estimates. So that's why our population overall is about nearly a quarter of our population has been surveyed. We must have had quite a bit of variability, and I didn't look into the particular details on that. Yeah, I agree. I mean, the standard error must be quite large for this. It's even for gender. I mean, male, female, that we shouldn't see such a large standard error. So I just. But yeah, I pulled this up because this is our overall characteristics that's supposed to represent all third grade public school children in Hawaii. And again, something where we have 2,000 people in the sample, we have a confidence interval of still 7 percentage points. So again, the standard error does seem quite high, which results in a higher confidence interval, and we need to look more into that. And then when you actually get to the results here, the examples, it's reflected in what we see here. But I'm thinking of our Yerba survey and our Yerba survey, the intervals are even smaller. And again, that's even a smaller sampling fraction. Fluoridation is a very touchy subject. We have had those challenges for quite some time. We've used these results, we've had media briefings, we work with the legislature, we have a different products. Our public health association applied for a DentaQuest Foundation grant and was awarded a grant to do community-based disparity interventional work for oral health. So as a follow-up to this, they're working with some of these microdeletions and some of the other high-risk communities in our state. Yes, but I'm actually, I have a paper in my room that I'm trying to finish up around fluoride supplementation. So we definitely need to continue pushing that effort in Hawaii. And I mean, Hawaii culturally, a lot of people don't want to. We get most of our water from the aquifer that's underneath the island, and it's sacred in our native Hawaiian culture. And there's a lot of concerns by people about polluting that with different things. And in my paper, trying to emphasize that the lack of evidence of systemic health effects is very well known. So I mean, you get a strong benefit for oral health, and you don't have a huge disadvantage from chronic conditions or other health impacts. So we're trying to get our medical and our dental community to share that story. Thank you for that. So in our efforts to get the word out there, we developed this report. And this report is just a descriptive report where we do highlight six different key findings and associate activities or strategies to counteract that. So I did not go into the multivariate portion in this report. It was more for the conference and my publication that we went into the multivariate analysis. Thank you. So I guess we'll turn it over to Abby.